Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
A couple of announcements, if I could, please, before we continue. The first of those, if we're we would like to do a Bible study for our young men and women, and that's from, like, if they can read and they want to think about spiritual things, they can come and be a part of it. So that's going to start, Lord willing, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. And we're going to do two things. A principal thing that we're going to, a resource that we'll use, is the little article that John Piper wrote called "What's the Difference? A Biblical Definition of Masculinity and Femininity." And then also a book that Vody Baucham has just written called "What He Must Be." The subtitle of that is "To Marry My Daughter." So he's essentially saying, here are some things that a man's going to have to be in order to marry my daughter, and some things that my daughter ought to be looking for in a husband. So that's kind of, we want to use those two resources to kind of challenge our kids to think about some of those things. And also, that probably opened up some dialogue for us to be, you know, just talking about some of those important life issues. And so, if you'd like to have a copy of that book, I'm going to order some of them this week. And so you can come and let me know afterwards. Or if so, I'm not saying you have to have one of those books to be a part of the study, but that'll be one resource that we'll use, and you may want to avail yourself of that. Let's see. Also, I'd like for us to stop, and we're going to pray together before we start our time. Rob was just sharing with us that his sister, Lana, L-A-N-A, is that right? L-O-N-A. His sister, Lana, lost a baby this weekend, and she was 18 weeks along. So that's a considerable heartache for them, and so we want to pray for them before we get going, and then we'll think out loud about prayer some, okay? So would you join me? Oh God, I thank you so much for your kindness to us in this day and for the mercies that you have shown us, and we ask that you would extend your comfort and mercies and kindness to Lana and to her family in these days of loss. And Father, words don't really even come to our lips that would be sufficient for such a thing. And so certainly, as in all things, you alone, O God, can comfort the heart. You alone can ease the anguish of loss. And you alone can give a sense of peace even in the midst of horrible difficulty. We pray that you would grant to her and all of her family grace during these days by your Spirit. And now as we think together out loud about praying and about some practical application of the call on our lives to pray, we ask that you would direct us and instruct us by your word, and that you would allow us to be encouraged towards this discipline of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, there must have been a Coke spilled all over this floor up here last night. I apologize for my squeaky shoes and stuff. It's everywhere. It's over there. It's over there. It's one of the blessings of the hotel. Okay, practical aspect of praying. I wanted you to talk out loud with me for just a minute, if you would. Why don't more people pray? Or why don't people pray more? I'm going to need an eraser and a marker too. Thanks. What are some of the barriers or the obstacles to prayer that we encounter? Okay. Who was the mother that used to throw her apron over her head while her 18 kids went around the kitchen? Is that Wesley's mother, I think? Yeah, she used to cover her head with her apron, and their kids just knew, Mom's not to be disturbed right now. She's praying. Yeah, but the environment is tough, isn't it? What's going on around us and those kinds of things. What else? What are some other barriers, obstacles to prayer? Sin or shame. I'm sorry? Sin or shame. You mean like in the sense, well, I can't go to God because... Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Tom, I saw your hand.
I was just going to say, our Western culture really encourages us strongly to be independent. We don't need anybody else.
Okay. Yeah, we sort of swim in a culture of independence and self-sufficiency, don't we? And busyness, for crying out loud. It's just like a mark of great manhood if I can say, I got up at 5 and I've been running until midnight and I sleep 4 hours and I work 86 hours a day. And a lot of times our culture demands that, but sometimes it becomes sort of a mark of, I've done that. Let me say, probably none of you have done that, but I have gloried in my busyness rather than relying in prayerfulness. Anything else? Obstacles? Barriers? Okay.
You just know a lot of things are wrong, but you just really...
I need. We need a lot, but we don't know what to say. We don't know how to express it. We don't know what language to use. Okay. If you give me just 1 second to erase... That was close, wasn't it? But I was watching. What are some areas in which we want to pray? Areas of need? I really am going to make y'all talk, so you might as well just go ahead and loosen up. What are some areas of need in prayer? What's some stuff we need to pray about? Okay, our own spiritual needs. Oops. This plant's going to be... Okay, what else? Okay, decisions that are coming up. And physical needs, if I'm sick, something like that. Decisions that approach. What else?
Spiritual needs of others.
Okay, so spiritual needs, myself and others.
Relationships.
My interaction with people, sin, forgiveness, repentance, all those kinds of things. Anything else come to mind?
Evangelism.
Okay. Evangelism. I'll put this up here with spiritual needs. We know lost people, Lord willing. We're trying to point them to Christ. How about our family. We have children. Some of us have children. Some of us want a spouse. So we're praying about those things. Finances, balancing our budgets, doing rightly, spending our money wisely, having enough money, the economy, jobs, those kinds of things that are flowing into this decision thing. Anything else? Leadership.
Courage.
Boldness in living a life that pleases God, honors Him. Doing right things at work, all that kind of stuff. There are lots of things that areas in which we need to be praying. And
I think on the relationships we were probably thinking this way, but as you preached this morning, prayer reminds us of our need of a relationship on a daily basis with God.
Okay. So if I put an arrow like this and like this, family, children, school, jobs. I mean, there are tons and tons of areas, places where we think about that we need to be praying. It's real important that today you understand that we're really not talking about formalities and stuff like that. But at the same time, we are saying that prayer ought to be informed and shaped by Scripture. And so I'd like for us to think from a broad perspective to something a little more specific today. Oh, and I forgot to ask you this. Does everybody have something to write on and something to write with? And if you don't have something to write with, I bet it seems like on that book cart, Tom, if you could look, I bet there are some pens there. And if you don't have something to write on, Tom will bring you another. The thing on the what is this thing called? Bulletin. In the bulletin, there's an empty space in there that you could write. And in a little bit, I'm going to encourage you to do something practical that you need to write down. And if you're just totally opposed to writing down and you say, I won't, you can't make me, it's okay. All right? Nobody's going to come get you. So if you need a pen or something to write on, Tom will be glad to help you. Just raise your paw. Jeff will get those distributed. First Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And earlier in the message, I told you that that was a pointer towards relational praying or a relational reality that prayer exhibits. That the scriptures evidently have called us to be in a prayerful attitude. Now that doesn't mean that we're only supposed to pray as Christians, that the really spiritual people are the ones who don't do anything but pray. And I don't think that's what's being indicated there at all, as much as it is the fact that throughout the day, in all the places that you go and in all the things that you do, there's a sense of prayerfulness about that, a sense of dependence upon God, a sense of, I'm about to have this meeting, and so, God, I'm praying that you'll give me wisdom in it and direction for this meeting so that I can speak as I ought. For a time that you're about to have a 10-minute commute with your child in the car from one place to another, and God, how can I use this profitably? You know, that one thing I'm trying to repent of is riding around listening to sports talk radio in my car with my kids. What a stupid waste of time to be listening to some guy who's talking about something that absolutely has no value eternally. Now, some days when I'm really tired, I'll say to Mary Carol, may I have your permission just to listen to ESPN today? And she's always kind and lets me do that. But I'm trying to repent of that. I'm about to have this meal, so I'm going to stop and pray and thank God for my food. I've just been told something horribly difficult. I'm not going to run off and try to fix this in my own strength, but I'm going to stop first and pray. God, would you give me grace to understand how to respond to this situation? I think that's a lot of what we're talking about, is having a prayerfulness about us that is regularly running to God. I don't think you have to flop down on your knees in the middle of the cubicle and face east to be able to pray. God knows your hearts and your thoughts and understands those things better than you do. And he knows your needs before they exist. And so as we cry out to God on a regular basis, that's a lot of what that's talking about. And so that's a first place to begin in terms of evaluation. Is my life characterized by this regular running to God? Questions or thoughts, comments about that? Helps? Okay. But more specifically, I am encouraging us to set aside, to carve out of our schedules times of prayer when that's what we're doing. And you can pray as you drive to work. You can pray as you're walking down the street, exercising. You can pray doing all kinds of things. But I think there's something to Jesus saying, when you pray, go into your closet and pray in private, so that your God who hears in private can answer you and give you your reward. There's something to that I think we ought to try to investigate. So that calls us to be thinking about ways that we can pray in private. One of the things that I do is to pray in kind of like concentric circles. And in those circles, I tend to start thinking about myself in the middle, because I know my needs and my own heart, And I know how much I need the grace of the gospel today. And so as I start praying there, asking God to forgive me of sin and to make me a more godly husband, to help me to love my wife better and my kids better and stuff like that, that's a place to start. And then I can move out to family, because I know those needs pretty well too. And I can begin to pray then for Kathy and what's coming in during the day, and for our children by name. And while I'm talking about this, this is going to sound like this is my habit, and I spend an hour and a half every morning in prayer. And I'm just not, okay? I don't want to present myself as doing something I'm not. I need to learn and grow in this. I'm just trying to help us think about some ways that can help us, okay? Not presenting myself as the guy who's got this locked in. So I'll go from my own heart to my family to y'all and the church and things that are going on with you guys and things that I know about and issues that are happening there, and then to larger things that are more spread out, like the world and the nations and that kind of thing. So that's one way to think about that. The other way that I most often don't ever just sit and pray for long periods of time. Most often I read scripture and pray and read scripture and pray and read scripture and pray. That happens best in the Psalms. And if you take your Bible and look to Psalm 104, this is an example, I think, of what George Mueller was talking about. We talked about earlier that we want to start in prayer, that a part of prayer ought to be recognizing God and His glory and hallowing His name and thinking on the greatness of God. And you can know that and think, okay, well, maybe I ought to... Oh, how many of you know the little thing, the ACTS? That's kind of helps you think about your prayer. ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You know, that way you can kind of think about praising God and confessing sin and thanking God for things and then asking God for things. That's another way to kind of think about ordering your prayer and letting that kind of direct things. Well, so many times we might bow to sit and think, okay, well, I want to do some prayer of adoration. God, you're great and you're really good and you're good and you're great and you're really big, and God, you're really big and you're good. You know, and then we kind of run out because we just don't have that stuff naturally in us. But you look at Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of His chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the messengers winds. He ministers a flaming fire. There's fuel for prayer that recognizes the greatness of God. And I'll be the first to say, I don't really understand all of what that means, but it's telling me that God is awesome. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. You know, and I've stretched out a tent before, and it's 10 by 8, and I struggle with that, getting 10 by 8 sorted out. So if He's stretching out the heavens like a tent, that baby's big, and He's awesome. And if He's superintending all of that, God, that's an amazing thing. And it raises God in my estimation. And again, I don't want to use language that's too, not trying to be Mark Driscoll here or anything, but it really does help equip our language. He sets the earth on its foundations so it should never be moved. Can you contemplate that for a moment? Can you just stop and think? Have you ever watched, a foundation laid, and you think about how important that is and how it holds a building up, and how what a big deal the foundation of the earth is? I mean, the foundation of a building is. If the foundation's not right, it flops over. And that's not just on little things. When I was a kid, I poured a little concrete slab for my dad that was about this big in front of a window, a basement window. And we had done a little project and filled it all back in. And then I poured the slab in front of it And that baby cracked and did this in about a month. You know, it was just so poorly prepared. And if it's that important for that little slab, how big a deal is the foundation of the earth, beloved? And God sets the foundation of the earth. And so there's great fuel for our prayers in the scriptures, in the Psalms, to see the bigness and the beauty and the glory of God and all that He's done. Now, you can go back to Psalm 103 and read there, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And I have often prayed for my children, God, would you let them see your benefits? When I'm praying about the spiritual needs of my children and I want my kids to love God more, I'm convinced that the way that they'll love Him more is if God reveals His beauty to them. If they see Him as more beautiful than anything else that the world has to offer, then they'll love Him more than the world. And so I pray for my children by name, God, would you let Mary Carol not forget your benefits today? Would you let her see the goodness of God? Would you let her see the richness of your kindness and the depth of your mercy? Would you allow her to be enamored, not with the things of this world, but with you? And that's how I pray for my family, in looking through scriptures like that. So you read, you pray, you read, you pray, you read, you pray. And that works both in Old Testament passages as well as New Testament. I can't remember what this one was to save my life. One Old Testament place I'm reading right now is in Genesis. And the other day, I found a place that I just stopped and prayed for things that were on my mind. So that seems like a real simple thing, but it's very helpful, I think, if we think about that. Now, what I'd like for you to do is, out of one of these passages of Scripture, I'd like for you to think about writing out some prayer on your piece of paper, okay? And take just a moment to exercise that. I would suggest either Psalm 23 or Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, or Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And what I would encourage you to do is to take about five or six minutes and think about an area. Do you have decisions that need to be made? Do you have physical needs? And again, I'm not saying that every scripture passage speaks to every need like this, but do you have something about which you're praying and concerned right now? And think about using that scripture to write out some prayer. Now, before I ask you to do that, I've only been talking about this for like 12 minutes. Is that making enough sense? Are there questions or comments that you want to make about this so far as we're going along? Okay. And don't look on your partner's paper. Don't make me come around and smack your hand. But take a few moments, if you would. If you would like to do that and just practice this a little bit, take about 4 or 5 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes, and do that if you would. And I didn't tell you this beforehand because I didn't want you to write something that would be suitable for public consumption. But I'm going to read to you what I just wrote, and then I'm going to ask you if you're willing to share a couple of things that you came up with and what that experience, you know, how did that help you or anything? Now, this is based out of this passage in Titus chapter 2 that talks about the fact that Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness, to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. And I wrote, "Sometimes, God, I'm deeply aware that our body gets much instruction, but not many outlets. The Lord Jesus died that we might be a people who are zealous for good works. Would you please work this purpose out in us, specifically in the area of evangelism? Thank you for those who speak of Christ on the job and in their communities already. Strengthen them and call more into the harvest for the glory of your great name. That's just a way that that scripture might encourage me to pray. And one of the things that it does is it helps check my heart. Because in some of the circles where I run, preachers are honored for the number of baptisms that their church has. And they used to give out plaques in meetings to the churches with the most baptisms and stuff like that. And so if your numbers were not up, you might get a call from a denominational servant who would come and help you be a better pastor. And you can well imagine how sometimes I might say, well, we need to see some more people baptized because I don't look like a very good pastor if we don't baptize more people. You know, how much does that motive honor Jesus and care for souls? Like negative 50? So this helps me to pray to remember that Jesus died to save people for himself, for his own glory. And that's the direction we're going with those things. Is evangelism a good work? Yes. Should it be done? Yes. Is it so Preacher Paul can look better? No. Okay? So how about, was that a, maybe you can say, yeah, this was a good experience for me. Here's what I did. No, I'm not getting this. This doesn't help me at all. Give me some feedback, okay? I ask horrible questions. Anybody willing to share what you did, what you wrote? Yes, ma'am. Be right back to you, Caleb.
I sometimes find when I can't find the words to go to Psalms and pray certain verses that appeal to me at that time. So that's what I did. I made my list of verses from Psalms that made my prayer.
Amen. And we can have confidence that that is useful, effective, God-honoring prayer, can't we? When it's because it's His Word. Yeah. Amen. Caleb?
Kind of just took the scripture and turned it into prayer. So I guess I'll read some of what I wrote.
Okay.
To thank you, Lord, that you live with you in your presence forever. And kind of to apply all those things to my life. When I'm afraid, help my heart to be encouraged by these promises.
Amen. Amen. That's encouraging. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Such a valuable part of prayer. Amen. Anybody else?
Colossians 1 spoke specifically to increase in knowledge of
him. Amen. 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 And again, this exercise is not to so that we can go, oh, that was a good prayer. You did really well. But to say, look how the scriptures help us, how they direct our minds to God, how they give us things to say when we don't know even what to say, when the words are not coming easily and so forth. So I want you to be encouraged when we think about praying more. We read a book in college called Could You Not Pray 1 Hour? It was based on Jesus coming back and, you know, in the garden, and his disciples fell asleep, and it was just horribly guilty feeling all the time, saying, well, I must be the sorriest Christian in the world. I can't think of stuff to pray for 1 hour. But we could with this, couldn't we? God can fuel our prayers for a lot of time. And your schedule may not allow for 1 hour of prayer. You know, you have other obligations and responsibilities, but for times of really God-focused, God-honoring, effective prayer, I think this is a great tool for us to begin to practice to use. And I know that many of you already do it, because when I hear you pray, I hear Scripture in your prayers. You know, I hear verses of Scripture that you've already memorized and meditated on and thought about, or you read them that morning or something like that, or you've got your Bible open in front of you. That's, you know, that's encouraging to my heart to hear that. So let's commit before the Lord by His grace to begin to be a people of prayer. And on top of all the things that you pray about for yourself and others, let me encourage you to pray for each other. Like, number one thing is, I think we tend to look around at everybody else's families and think, boy, their family, they've got it all on the balance. Those guys are memorizing Scripture together and learning Latin, and they're having family worship every day, and their dad gets out a PowerPoint presentation for that stuff, and they just got it all together. And you know what? There's nobody here like that. Well, I don't know. Maybe you are, but I suspect that none of us have it that together. You know? So let's pray for one another in those regards. We're all wrestling to love our spouses and raise our kids and live life. And let's pray for... Yes, sir, Tom. We won't tell him.
Confessing this, but I was encouraged when he said, "Hey, Daddy, when are we having family worship?" Sometimes our children can be a tremendous encouragement to
yeah.
us. And I was encouraged by hearing Stan say that out of the mouths of babes come encouragement for him to do that for his family.
Amen. Yeah. I want to encourage you to pray for our students, for our children and for our students and college and career, you know, working folks that are amongst us. We have several folks who are single, and you know what? That's horribly, horribly lonely sometimes, to be in that state of life. They long to be married, or they long to be, that's not the place that God's given them right now. But we want y'all to know that we love you, and we pray for you often, and we long for you to, and we want you to come, you know, hang out with our families. And when you're lonely, you call us, and I'll send you over to Stan's house, and there's... where there are lots of kids just ready to love on you. Now, no, in all seriousness, I can remember when I was in seminary, the professors always talked about how hard it was to be married in seminary. And I thought, yeah, well, you don't know how hard it is to be single. So all of life is hard. It all has its challenges. And so we need to be praying for one another in all these various stages of life. And then finally, I'd like to encourage you to pray for the church. In this past week in particular, There were just lots and lots and lots of things to be worked through, and I spent more time in meetings and counseling situations last week than it seems like I ever have, and there are lots of folks struggling. We are all wrestling against the evil one. So let's pray for our church, and that we would be rightly moving forward in terms of thinking about how to build community with each other, how to minister to one another and minister in our community. Okay? We need lots of grace and wisdom about that. All right, let's pray together, and we will go. Well, Father, it doesn't seem superfluous to come before you again to ask you to seal all these things to our hearts, the need to be praying, the graces to pray that you have provided for us by your Spirit, and the just the physical tools, the help of your Scripture that you've given us that lifts our hearts to you. We thank you for all these things, and we pray that you would indeed enable us to participate in this godly and Christ-honoring spiritual discipline that you have given to us. I do ask for your help for those who are away from us today, some because of health and difficulties, some as they're traveling to be with families and friends and so forth. I ask that in every situation you would protect and keep your people, that you would keep them from falling into sin because of a change of habit or schedule, or because they've gotten around old friends that might lead them astray. I pray that you would sustain by your mercy their health. And I pray too that in days of not having to press so hard at school because of the break, that you would refresh them emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually. I pray for our church body, oh God. I do ask that you would help us to give our attention and focus to the things that would bring you the most glory and would provide and help and sustain your people most ably. God, we long to be faithful, and we ask you to provide for those things through your body and things that we need for that. And now in the rest of this day, oh God, give us grace and help to think on how we can encourage one another in Christ and how we can love you and enjoy you best. And give us strength for the week that is coming to serve you and honor you well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.